Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Adam Hoagie or Hogg, excuse me, I don't know how to pronounce the last name.
They do have a really fast receiver room now. They have the speed, but I'm a big believer that you have to be able to play wide receiver too. There's a difference. You can't just put a bunch of track stars out there.
Adam Hoge.
Great question, Dan.
Bears insider for NBC Sports Chicago.
Here's what I can tell you about what the Bears are doing.
Host of the Hoge and Johns podcast.
It's not just this spot. It is left tackle too. They put all their chips in on a rookie that had back problems in college last year. Okay, even if these are new symptoms, that was risky.
Adam Hoge with Bernstein and Rahimi.
All right, go Bears.
On the Score.
Bears. Good morning. Welcome back into the Bernstein and Rahimi show. Mark Grody, Gabe Ramirez from B96 filling in for Dan Bernstein and Leila Rahimi today. And let's keep the Bears talk hot indeed with Adam Hoge of NBC Sports Chicago. He joins us on the Score Hotline presented by Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas, home of the world's largest sports
Bears
book. What's up, Hoger?
Bears.
What's up, Grody?
Did you go to Lane Tech like our guy Gabe Ramirez? I thought you were, aren't you a Lane Tech guy?
I went to Driver's Ed at Lane Tech.
Okay.
But really? No, otherwise I am a St. Ignatius grad.
Oh,
got
okay.
Money, baby. We got money over here, St. Ignatius.
Well, let's get into the hottest topic in town, Adam Hoge, and that is the openings for general manager and head coach. Where are you landing on those two candidates? Do you at this point have a favorite? Is there a name that's popped up that looks better than the others, or are you still trying to figure it all out?
Well, I'll tell you somebody who is definitely stood out to me and not only should be the guy they hire, but really needs to be the guy they hire. And it goes back to something that I know Dan and Layla have talked about on the show. I believe that they have coined it the Hoge Doctrine.
Doctrine, yes. I've heard it, yes.
I think it really, for full effect, should be more like the Hoggy or the Hog Doctrine. But
Adam Hoge, his name, he put up on the screen, it says Hog.
Yeah. but really, it's the thing I've talked about for a few years now is that really it seems like everybody who is employed by the Chicago Bears is one step higher than they really should be, right? Like, you know, from the ownership all the way down, everybody's kind of been over promoted one spot than they really should be. And if you hire somebody, which has been why I am with a lot of people who believe that somebody should be hired as a president of football operations to help push everybody down one spot. And that does not sound like what they're going to do. However, there is a candidate, Rick Smith. Rick Smith was the GM in Houston who had a lot of success and then unfortunately had to step aside and take a leave of absence because his wife was battling cancer and sadly passed away in 2019. But, you know, Rick Smith was not only the GM in Houston, he was also the executive vice president of football operations. After serving as the GM, they promoted him up another level. So you have a chance here to hire a guy who, if he gets hired by the Bears, would still be the general manager because that's what George McCaskey told us is going to happen. But he has experience at a higher level. So And, oh, by the way, for a franchise, if you're paying attention, and you saw it again yesterday as they fired David Culley down there in Houston, has been completely lost without Rick Smith and has many ownership questions just like the Chicago Bears do. So when he was there in Houston and managing to put competitive teams together, drafting guys like J.J. Watt, you know, he was dealing with, in my opinion, somewhat of a similar situation as what the Bears have here in Chicago, which is a flawed organization. So to me, he's the guy that they should target. He's the guy they really, really need.
Our own Adam Hogg says.
Thanks, Les.
Responsible, you're right, Adam, for some great guys. You know, you drafted DeAndre Hopkins, was there for Deshaun Watson. What would you say is the number one personality trait that whether it be Rick Smith or any of these other candidates, what is the number one personality trait that these guys have to have stepping into this position?
Well, I don't know if it counts as personality. I just think it's like experience, you know, and understanding how these things work. You know, having been in the room and having, maybe if you want a personality trait, how about this? Confidence. You know, confidence with that experience so that when you're on the phone, on the clock, on draft day, and you're fixated on Mitchell Trubisky, and you're worried because you're being told on the other end of that phone that there's other teams calling to get up to number two, and you're so worried that whoever that team is that's trying to jump you to number two is going to take Mitch Trubisky, you kind of sit back and you realize you don't need to give up the farm to move up one spot just to get your guy. You know, moments like that. Andy Dalton. You know you have to sign somebody. You know you need to help your quarterback room. You had just tried to trade for Russell Wilson, which was great, but it didn't happen. You're desperate at quarterback, and you're hearing that the San Francisco 49ers are interested in Andy Dalton. Well, take a step back and realize, like, Jimmy Garoppolo's still there. They're also high on Trey Lance and Mac Jones. Like, they're probably not offering $10 million for Andy Dalton's services. Do you really need to pay it? You know, just stuff like that. I think I've defended a lot of the moves Ryan Pace made, but I think everyone brings up a good point that sometimes the process was flawed. And I think if you can bring in somebody like Rick Smith, who has been through it, understands these moments when you have to make tough decisions, really quickly. And that happens a lot when you're a GM, when you're negotiating these things and you're flying through phone calls and things like that. I just think confidence and that experience would pay a huge dividends. It's really something the Bears need and have lacked at some of these hires in the last decade.
That's the voice of Adam Hogue of NBC Sports Chicago. This is the Bernstein and Rahimi Show with Mark Grody and Gabe Ramirez filling in on The Score. A couple of interviews expected to go down today, Hogue. One of those would be Jeff Ireland of the New Orleans Saints for GM. Brian Flores, a hot coaching name for sure as it pertains to the Bears, the now former Dolphins head coach. What do you think about, let's start with Flores. What do you think about his prospects of fitting in with the Bears?
So I like Brian Flores on the surface as a guy who probably should not have been fired, showed some good things with another flawed organization in the Miami Dolphins, and had some success, was close to the playoffs the last 2 years. The way he turned things around this year after that 1-7 start, I think does count for something. A couple of things that I've just been told this week that, well, one thing I observed and one thing I was told. The thing I observed that worries me is what happened last year with Tua Tagovailoa. And the uncertainty and the lack of a plan, it seemed like at times, for how to work their rookie quarterback in and juggle with the veteran. Does that sound familiar? Because I think Grody and I, you just covered that this season with the Chicago Bears. So that's a little bit of a red flag to me. Now that could be mitigated perhaps by how he feels about Justin Fields, what his plan would be for Justin Fields. And because he may have not had confidence in Tua, and I think we probably saw that. The other thing is just, some of this has been reported, but I heard it right away on Monday, too, from a good source, is that Brian Flores alienated people down there in Miami. And not just the GM, which that came public like right away, that there was a philosophical difference there. But I heard coaches on his staff didn't necessarily like the way that he run things, and he was a little bit too hard on them and things like that. Now, you always have to take that with a grain of salt because any coach that gets let go or leaves, they're always going to have some beef with their boss, no matter what job we're talking about. So you got to be careful with that sometimes. I just think that there's a couple red flags there. I'm not saying I'm out on Brian Flores. I just think that there's some things that need to be worked out, and hopefully that's what the Bears are doing today as they talk to him.
Yeah, and I'll say this too, man, that he does not fit the profile of somebody that the Bears would want to walk into Halas Hall at this point. They don't hire those types of guys, but it can go the other way too, Hogue, if they surprised us and started doing business differently and bring on a personality that doesn't just have personality, because Bears coaches have had that, but they don't tend to impose their will. That might actually be exactly what the Bears need to shake things up at that position.
Perhaps, but you better have a GM candidate that mixes, you know, so that there's not friction there right away. And that's where I'm trying to give the Bears the benefit of the doubt here, which is hard to do because they don't really deserve it with these GM and coaches search, which I wrote a piece on yesterday for NBC Sports Chicago. If anybody would like the pain of reliving the last five searches and some of the mistakes that have been made. But this is what the Bears need to do. They need to look at some of the mistakes that they've made and fix it this time. So I like the fact that they're doing this at the same time. They're interviewing the head coaches and the GMs. I know everybody gets a little up in arms about that because they want to make sure the GM gets put in place. But I think in this process, hopefully you land on a pairing of guys that work together, that you know are going to gel together. And whichever way you do it, whether it's the GM first or the head coach first, let's say you go with the GM first. Hopefully, once you hire that guy, that GM, whoever it is, you've interviewed a bunch of head coaches and you've talked to that GM candidate, and you know from your list of head coaches that you interviewed who fits the GM, who the GM also likes, so that you don't just hire a guy and then 4 days later, John Fox gets fired in Denver and you got the advisor sitting there going, well, how about John Fox? He's my old buddy. And Sean Payton says that he's good. And you worked with Sean Payton in New Orleans. So why don't you give Sean a call, check out. And then Sean says, oh, yeah, I like John Fox. He's my buddy, too. And then you hire a guy who it didn't take long to realize that they didn't really fit together at all. Like, that's what you have to avoid in this process, whoever you land on.
Yeah, and I think that, you know, the first round of interviews is just that, right? The Bears doing due diligence so that way, if in effect they grab a GM, they can say, hey, these are the three guys that we're looking at. You know, who do you like and who can we bring in for a second type interview? Now, obviously, Adam, people were talking about who their favorites are, who they would prefer to see in that position. So outside of Brian Flores, who would you say is at the bottom half or the bottom of that list? Who would you not want to have the reins as the coach of the Chicago Bears?
I like this question.
I do too.
Because they're interviewing a couple guys who are not even on my list that I put out on Monday. What would be my short list, which does not matter at all. Nobody cares what my short list is. But, you know, it started with the crazy names like Sean Payton, which is probably unrealistic. But that's what a short list should start with, guys. Like, you should start with unrealistic and work down from there. So the second the Steelers get killed by the Chiefs on Sunday night, I'd have a phone call to Mike Tomlin's agent just making sure, hey, you know, your quarterback's retiring, your GM sounds like he might be retiring after the draft, you sure you're cool in Pittsburgh? Okay, you are? Okay, just wanted to double check. You know, because that's what you should do. But the question was, who would not be on my list? You know, I'm sorry, guys, Leslie Frazier's a great guy. He's a great defensive coordinator. I remember the Minnesota Vikings era very, very well. Just does nothing for me. He had one good season there. The other three were not inspiring at all. And I would like a candidate that has had coaching experience, but I want one that also had success when they were a head coach. Same thing with Todd Bowles. Todd Bowles, man, it just wasn't good. Now, everyone struggles to have success in New York with the Jets. I'm just struggling with guys that really didn't win when they were a head coach and are great defensive coordinators. There's no question about these guys. They're great coaches, but they need to show to me that that they can have success before I'm going to go out there and make a big move like that. And at the same time, I'm also willing to consider guys who haven't been a head coach before. I know it's risky, But if they check the right boxes, then I would be willing to make that leap. Byron Leftwich is somebody who I think you got to take very, very seriously. He's risen through the ranks. And don't just say it's because of Tom Brady. This guy was a fast riser in Arizona before he ever went to Tampa. He became the OC there very, very quickly. Bruce Arians trusts him, and that was all before Tom Brady got there. Bruce Arians is a coach the Bears should have hired instead of Mark Trestman. So I would listen to a guy like Bruce when he endorses somebody like Byron Leftwich. So that's somebody I would consider, even though he hasn't been a head coach before.
You know, when you brought up your article on NBCSportsChicago.com in regards to what has gone wrong, and you just brought up the name Mark Trestman and Phil Emery. When that hire was made, and obviously, as you just pointed out, they hired the wrong man. However, when those hires were made, there was some, I was cool with it because it felt different. It felt like they were experimenting. It felt outside of the realm of what the Chicago Bears usually do. I don't think, though, that they can afford to. I'd like them to think that way again. Obviously, not those people, but I don't think they can afford to take those chances. Like, the best thing for the Bears is a guy who has had experience, and it's unfortunate, but they have to get it right.
Well, it's a great point, Gordy, and that's my problem. I mean, look, it's not just that high. Okay. Bruce Arians was the NFL Coach of the Year. You don't ever get to interview the NFL Coach of the Year. The NFL Coach of the Year in any other year is like winning the Super Bowl or, you know, I guess Matt Nagy won Coach of the Year. But, you know, they're employed. That was a special circumstance where Arians stepped in as an interim head coach. And so he was available to talk to. And you passed on him for a Canadian Football League coach. Like, it is so beyond ridiculous when you think about it that way, that it's no surprise it didn't work. And then the same thing with Ryan Pace, who I still, you know, I still think you have to be fair. And a lot of the things he did were okay. And I don't, you know, whatever. It doesn't matter anymore. He's gone. The reality is Chris Ballard was the obvious choice. Chris Ballard worked for the organization for over 10 years, had just left for 2 years. Otherwise, he knew everything that went wrong a couple years ago when you went through that Bruce Arians, Mark Trestman decision. He knew the mistakes that had been made. He knew how to correct them. He knew that they had to do what they're doing now, which is have the GM report to the owner, not to Ted Phillips. Now they're doing that. Now they're correcting that mistake they made when they hired, when they passed on Ballard to instead hire Ryan Pace. So to me, don't be cute about it. Hire the most obvious candidate, which again, yeah, goes back to Rick Smith. He is the most qualified candidate by far, and if he really has mutual interest, and I believe there is mutual interest, and he still has the drive, because that's another thing you got to check on this, because he walked away and he stepped away for a couple years. If he still has the drive to have that job, which is an all-hours job, no days off type of deal, if he still wants to do that, just make the obvious decision. I think that's what the Bears have to do.
Yeah, I mean, it's too bad that they have to do that, that it has come down to it, but there's no doubt about it that's the case. One other guy I wanted to ask you about, Hoag, on the potential GM side would be the only, as far as I know, in-house candidate, and that is Champ Kelly, who is the assistant director of player personnel for the Bears. What do you think about him and his chances?
Yeah, two different questions there. Like Champ a lot. I think Champ has been somebody who's been behind some of the better moves the Bears have made. I think he's well-respected in that building. And so I'm not surprised at all that he's getting an interview. I think he deserves an interview. He'd been interviewed by other teams for their GM spots the last couple of years. But in terms of his chances of getting it, you just can't get away with hiring one of Ryan Pace's assistants right now, right? I mean, I don't know how you would sell that to the fan base. But the Bears have been trying to sell a lot of stuff to the fan base that hasn't made a lot of sense recently. So do I think he's qualified? Yes. Do I think he's going to be a GM somewhere else? Probably not. Maybe not this year, but some time down the road here in the next few years, probably. But I don't think it's going to be with the Bears this year.
Adam, thank you so much for your time. We appreciate it. We will read you on NBCSportsChicago.com, and I'm sure I will see you on a Zoom sometime soon.
All right, guys.
All right. Take care. That is Adam Hoag from NBC Sports Chicago. I'm Mark Grody. This is the Bernstein and Rahimi Show. When we return, we will talk about Jim Harbaugh. Dave Wansett had some very interesting, maybe revealing things to say about Jim Harbaugh yesterday, and I do think that he is an entire topic of his own. It's like we've got all these candidates that are just splattered all over the place, and then there's Jim Harbaugh over here. So when we return, Gabe Ramirez and I will discuss the possibility of that guy, Jim Harbaugh, next on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Former head coaches, Bill O'Brien, Doug Peterson, you know, and Jim Caldwell, we know they're interviewing already for Jacksonville. But Jim Harbaugh, I can tell you this, has been calling around asking for people in case he gets an NFL job if they would join his staff. So he is interested in possibly returning to the NFL.
Oh, it's the great wild card of all the coaching candidates. And that's Jay Glazer on Fox talking about the Michigan head coach, Jim Harbaugh, who has to be a person of interest for the Chicago Bears. Welcome back in on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score, along with Gabe Ramirez of B96 and Bears Unleashed on Fox 32. I'm Mark Grody. We're in for Bernstein and Rahimi on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. So just keeping track for everybody, your head coaching tracker for the Bears. The Bears have interviewed Doug Peterson, the former Eagles coach, won a Super Bowl with the Eagles and then fizzled out there. They are scheduled to interview Brian Flores of Miami Dolphins fame. They are expected to interview him today. And so those are the coaching candidates that will have been interviewed by end of day today, assuming everything stays on schedule. They'll also today, the Bears are scheduled to interview Jeff Ireland of the New Orleans Saints front office. The GM candidates that the Bears have already interviewed include Champ Kelly, the assistant director of player personnel for the Chicago Bears. Another guy they interviewed yesterday was Kwesi Adofo-Mensah, 2013 Stanford grad, was with the 49ers through 2020 and is now the VP of football ops as it stands for Cleveland. And then Glenn Cook, the Browns VP of player personnel, he has been interviewed by the Bears. So you are up to date on that, but the guy that changes everybody or everything on these lists, Gabe, is Jim Harbaugh. He's kind of a no-doubter to me that he checks all of the boxes that you would want. A former quarterback who one would think could have success in developing Justin Fields, but also a guy that imposes his will in a good way most of the time and is interested in defense as well, not just offense, a true quintessential head football coach.
Yeah, as a Bear fan, I think to myself, like, why am I so enamored at the idea of Jim Harbaugh, you know, being our coach? But then you look back and you say to yourself, okay, well, you know, he was a Bear and, you know, he performed well in the NFL when he, you know, took on Colin Kaepernick in his last couple of years in San Francisco. But then you just say to yourself, you know, it's like a Midwest connection there. But it's the grit, right, Mark? I think it's seeing a guy like him and seeing how his personality is synonymous with the city of Chicago. And like you guys were mentioning in the last couple of segments, you know, you want someone that can come in and be a take charge kind of a guy instead of a happy-go-lucky, let's get along with everybody so that way we can sing Kumbaya in the huddles. It's like, nah, we need somebody to come in here, smack some people around, and get them playing hard-nosed Chicago Bear-type football, and he can't be that guy. What was surprising to me, 7 years at Michigan, I didn't realize it had been that long that he'd been there.
Yeah, you know, he kind of got lost there a little bit because of the relative lack of success that he had up until this year. So he kind of fell behind a little bit. And I'm down with some of the things that you're saying, like the grit and all that kind of stuff. But the number one thing I like about Jim Harbaugh is he does things his way, and it comes off as weird sometimes, a little bit quirky in ways, but I like that. Unlike the quirks that Mark Trestman had,
I think that the quirks that Jim Harbaugh has have served him well as a head coach. So that's what I'm more interested in. And the dirty little secret, too, about Jim Harbaugh as a Chicago Bears player, I bet if he was being honest with you, he would tell you it was not a good experience. He was not I don't think there is this place in his heart for the Bears like people might think, because he did not have his greatest success there. His greatest success as a quarterback was in Indianapolis, where he was known as Captain Comeback, one of the worst nicknames of all time. And he had to have been embarrassed by it. Could you guys just stop? Hey, Dick Ember, could you stop with the Captain Comeback crap? It makes me seem like I'm a character on a cereal box. Stop it with that. But he had huge success there. And then the coaching is where he has shined. So I don't know that his loyalty would exist with the Bears necessarily in that regard. But there are ties that are real. He was drafted there, so I think that would come into play. Let's listen to what Dave Wanstead had to say about Jim Harbaugh, a guy that Dave has coached and a guy that Dave Wanstead keeps in touch with.
I like Jim. I'm a fan of Jim Harbaugh's. Not just because I coached him. I think that you know what you get with Jim. And I think that, you can see a history of how he's going to coach, and not just at Michigan. I mean, going back to Stanford, going back to the 49ers, I think he is a guy that understands the athleticism and how you can use the athleticism of a quarterback. You know, obviously he had Alex Smith, and then he had Colin Kaepernick at the 49ers. They did an unbelievable job of moving those guys and using their athletic ability. So I don't know. And Jim would be a guy that if Jim was interested and they were interested in him, that's an established head coach. You know, you're going to get all these young guys that are going to take this job sight unseen. I mean, yes, we'll take it. Oh, God, Justin Fields is the best in the world. I'll solve all your problems. They want the job. I get that. But at the end of the day, if you're going to get a guy that's been there and done a little bit of it, like a Jim Harbaugh, you can be sure that he has evaluated the talent on that roster. And, he played against Justin Fields. If Jim would be interested in the job, he knows as much about Justin Fields as we do, as anybody, from studying him at Michigan and Ohio State. And if Jim wants the job and he's excited about it, he's got a plan, and I would trust him. I really would.
It's interesting. I was reading today, Coach, from DeBears blog, and they've had a couple things right, that Harbaugh called the Bears last year after his bad year at Michigan, that there was conversation between Harbaugh and George and Ted, just, talking, checking in. Yep. So the relationship is real. You buy that? That these guys have a relationship?
I talk to Jim periodically. So, without getting into details of it, yes, I believe that, and I think there's a mutual respect between both of them. I'm reading, and I don't know this, that Michigan's trying to extend them, blah, blah, blah. I would think, if Bill Polian is behind the scenes, the biggest factor as far as a decision-making GM and coach, Jim played for Bill at Indianapolis. Now, I have no idea the relationship there, no idea. But if it's good, who else could vouch for a guy personally than Bill Polian with Jim Harbaugh, who was his quarterback?
It's,
I don't know. It would all fit. It would all fit.
Right. You don't have to formally request an interview with Jim Harbaugh like you do these guys who are employed by NFL teams. Is it the type of thing where if it is Jim Harbaugh, it's just going to be Jim Harbaugh, and they're gonna, like we might not know that they're doing multiple interviews with him, and it'll be some sort of like public flirtation. I could see that one just being like, the Bears have hired Jim Harbaugh.
Yeah, I could see that too. Absolutely, because of the relationships, Ted Phillips and Jim know each other and get along. George, you mentioned Bill, all the players involved in this decision making thing have a relationship on both sides. And Jim doesn't have an agent, guys. He told me that. He does not have an agent. He represents himself. And so you're talking to one guy. There's not going to be anything leaking. It's coming from Jim. And it's really pretty simple. It could be a Zoom call at midnight and talk about it, and maybe one personal meeting somewhere or somehow. And that could be the deal. I agree with you. It could happen fast if he was the guy.
You know, Coach, Harbaugh is my number.
Should have an agent.
Harbaugh is my number one choice. And the more you talk about it, it checks every box, doesn't it? It checks the old school Chicago connection box. It checks the knowing the Bears box, but it also checks a modern offensive mind box, NFL success, and as you say, the connection and knowledge of Justin Fields. You do this first round of interviews like you and Danny are talking about. Really, the question is whether Jim wants to go. You know, Jim just made the college football playoff, just beat Ohio State for the first time. But they got got pantsed when they got there. I wonder if he thinks, well, maybe this is as good as it gets at Michigan. You know, like I just got over that hump, and this is as good as it gets.
I can tell you this firsthand, Spiegs. Jim doesn't have the mentality, this is as good as it gets, and Michigan's got an upper hand. In Jim's mind, we are there now, and now we can take advantage of this, and we can take the next step. And we're the team in the Big Ten. I mean, that's how Jim's thinking right now, and I know that for a fact. So, I mean, he's not saying this is, you know, I better make a move because I've kind of run this, you know, Michigan's run its course. That's not the case at all.
Okay.
So I know that for a fact.
That's Bears, the former Bears head coach Dave Wansett on the score with Parkins and Spiegel. And yeah, I mean, a few things jump out there. Yeah, he did play for Bill Polian. I didn't add that when I talked about his captain comeback days. The power part is interesting too, that yeah, somebody like Jim Harbaugh is going to step out of a cushy situation, and Lord knows he would have other options than the Bears at the NFL level. They're going to have to give him power, and I don't know if that's something that they're willing to do at this point, given more than head coaching power if they're going to hire a GM. There will be no football czar, and that it is weird that he doesn't have an agent. What did you think of all that, Gabe Ramirez?
Yeah, I think a couple things stood out. I mean, I think if you're talking about who the Chicago Bears should be having as head coach, it is someone that you want to give power to, right? In the sense of you want someone with a football mind. That's what everyone's been saying, right? You don't want the Trestman type guy. You don't want the wishy-washy. You want a guy who knows, you know, as much about football as you would like. The reality is Jim Harbaugh gets to choose his own destiny. Right. I think
Wansett
said it best. I love that attitude where, hey, we're here now. We can use this and leverage it. The fact that we made it to the college football playoff, you know, we are the team in the Big Ten. So, you know, that seems enticing, as does the possibility of coming back and coaching in the NFL, especially with the connections that he has that Dave Wansett said, you know, to Polian, to Bukowski, and to Tev Phillips. But I just think, you know, it really is. I'm interested in what your reasoning is to why you think he would choose Chicago. Because when you listen to everybody else, it's like, oh, well, he has options galore. So, well, you know, why choose Chicago?
You're right. I mean, it's a tough sell in some regards. But here's why Jim Harbaugh would choose Chicago. It is an untapped challenge. The Bears have not been successful in a sustained way for a long time. So you come in here with a chance to resurrect a proud charter franchise. I think that that's a huge part of it. I also think that, and look, a lot of people are citing, and you cited the Bears' ties. I do not put as much stock in that as other people do, and I laid out the reason why. I don't know that it was a great experience for Jim Harbaugh in Chicago. Now, that is regimes and regimes and regimes ago, but let's not necessarily connect that part to Jim Harbaugh. I also think that, and this is a larger statement on the Bears. I know that Bears fans are going to push back on this, but being the GM and head coach of the Bears is a great gig, because once you're in, you are in full power without a lot of other voices. Like, I wish they would add an extra football guy, that whole thing that we've been talking about for months, but the Bears are not. So whomever the head coach and the GM are, they got a lot of autonomy and they have a lot of power to do as they choose. George McCaskey laid that out when he said he was uncomfortable with the idea of his head coach, Matt Nagy, coming up to him and saying, asking for advice on the roster and what you should do with Justin Fields. George McCaskey told you right there that he is not a meddler, that once the guys are hired and we can punch holes in that process, once those guys are hired, those are plum jobs, man. And for Mark, this organization, yes.
It's like, but is Jim Harbaugh, like, let's go back to what Adam Hogg was saying. Like, is Jim Harbaugh going to listen to a guy like Rick Smith when he comes in, you know, or is he does he want the direct line to the McCaskey and say, hey, this is what I feel like we should happen and what we should do? He's just going to overstep that person, don't you think?
Totally. I mean, it changes the equation, and that's what I'm saying, that if he came in, he would command justifiably some power, and then maybe you have a structure where, oh my God, remember I said this in transition, where it is, again, collaborative, where it feels like one guy does not have more power than the other, and by the end of the day, on that fateful day when both Ryan Pace and Matt Nagy were fired, it sure did feel like they were on the same ground in terms of the hierarchy. So it that would be a touchy part of it, and I think the biggest part of it too, but we'll continue to track that and let you know about other candidates. When we return, Gabe, how about we do a little Bulls talk?
Can't wait.
I know, man. You've been waiting since the pre-show meeting to talk about these Bulls, who host Golden State tonight, and it is a gauntlet of a schedule coming up. We will discuss it next on the Bernstein and Rahimi Show with Mark Grody and Gabe Ramirez on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Welcome back into the Bernstein and Rahimi Show on The Score, along with Gabe Ramirez of B96 and Bears Unleashed. I am The Score's Mark Grody. Text lines are open, 312-644-6767. There's a Bulls game tonight on The Score at 6:30. A big Bulls game relative to regular season games. The Bulls host the 30-11 mighty Golden State Warriors tonight. The Bulls right now, Gabe, 27-12. They are two games ahead of both Miami and Brooklyn in the Eastern Conference. 2.5 better than the Milwaukee Bucks, a team against which the Bulls have not played this year. But how you feeling right now, man, about the Golden State game and the 138-112 loss to the Nets the other night, where the third quarter was a huge problem for the Bulls?
First thing I want to say is just bet the Bulls. Bet the Bulls tonight. I don't know. I don't think they're going to lose back-to-back. I mean, no Draymond Green, no Klay Thompson. And the Warriors played yesterday against the Milwaukee Bucks, so it's going to be tough for them. I mean, Curry, if you want a player prop, bet Curry scoring over 25, because you know he's going to. He lights up the Bulls all the time. But the Bulls, it's going to be interesting to see how the Bulls bounce back from that game. I mean, listen, the Bulls have a phenomenal record. They've been beating up on teams in the Central and in the Eastern Conference. So it was good to see them go up against a team that was at, you know, quote-unquote full strength in the Brooklyn Nets. But what I think a lot of people weren't necessarily paying attention to was the fact that the Bulls, I felt like the Bulls, again, I'll bring up the Spider-Man meme. It was like you're looking at each other and pointing like, who are you? Are you me? Are you? We have three guys that could score the ball. And, you know, so going up against a team like that where, you know, you have a guy like Kevin Durant, James Harden, that can get to the bucket or pull up from three and draw defenders to you so that way you can have guys like Patty Mills hitting corner three-pointers. And that's exactly what the Bulls have been doing all season long, right? DeMar DeRozan getting to the cup, Zach LaVine getting to the cup, Vooch on the pick and roll doing just that, and allowing Kobe White, Ayo, you know, Javonte Green to hit those threes from the corners. But then, so it was like we were, you know, getting a taste of our own medicine in that game. Something that I didn't see from the Bulls against the Brooklyn Nets was just that I mentioned a second ago, the pick and roll with Vooch. That's something that's worked all season long. And I think I didn't see it for the first time until like midway through the second quarter. And so you saw Vooch playing well. He was one of the few stars that was, you know, out the gates coming out on fire. So I would have loved for them to lean on that a little bit more. But again, it's a learning experience. I tweeted it out a second ago, Mark, or yesterday, where I was like, it felt like I was watching a sports movie where you lose to the bully in the middle of it, you know, because they just, you're just not ready yet. You thought you were ready and they kick your butt. And then all of a sudden, you know, later on in the movie, you end up winning. So I'm hoping it has that kind of effect on them.
Yeah, but kind of a Danielson kind of thing. One good kick to the chin. There you go.
I've been watching Cobra Kai lately, so don't get me started on that thing. I thought it was going to be corny, and it actually ended up being pretty decent.
It's pretty good, isn't it?
Okay, yeah. I'm glad you're in on it, too. So what do you think? You seem surprised when I said bet the Bulls because they're not going to lose two in a row.
No, actually, I agree with you. I think that they will be on their best behavior tonight against Golden State. I think that they did get a little bit of a wake-up call from Brooklyn. Not that the Bulls should have beaten Brooklyn because pound for pound, they're better than the Bulls, but I think it sunk in that, okay, if you guys want to beat these types of teams, you better be on every aspect of your game. So I do think the Bulls will make good tonight against Golden State. And the biggest disappointment from the Brooklyn game for me was the easy baskets. And Rob Schaefer of NBC Sports Chicago did a great job of laying this out, that the Nets had 19 fast break points, 14 second chance points, 23 free throws. And as Billy Donovan put it, 56 points the Bulls had control of and didn't get them. Guess what? The Bulls are a talented team. The Bulls are fancy at times. But against these better teams, and really on a night-to-night basis, part of why the Bulls are good is because they still are a maximum effort team, and they can't afford to do the thing that a lot of NBA teams can afford to do, and that is to take your foot off the gas just a little bit. The Bulls are really good. They're really talented. They're not there yet.
Yeah, I think, you know, they shot themselves in the foot with a lot of turnovers, things you didn't see throughout the course of the season. You know, you saw Zach, the ball bouncing off his foot. DeRozan, the same thing. You saw Kobe do it a time or two. And I think that what they went up against was really just scoring power. When you're talking about easy buckets, right, it's like usually they're facing teams where they can outscore. You know, you got the DeRozan, Levine, Vooch combination that can score, outscore majority of teams in the NBA. So it was interesting to see them go up against another powerhouse team and how they responded to it. And it seemed as though at times certain players were trying to, you know, put the team on their back. Whereas, you know, the Bulls perform well night in and night out. You see the stat go up on the screen where they've made 20 baskets and they've been assisted on 16 of them, right? Passing the ball well and moving it. And I felt like at times against the Brooklyn Nets, that wasn't necessarily the case.
All right, let's do a quick sketch because I mentioned the gauntlet, and I do like any opportunity to use gauntlet in sports, a word that has been adopted by sports for sure. The schedule is a bitch coming up, if you prefer me to put it that way. They host Golden State tonight, then they're in Boston tomorrow, at Memphis Monday, home against Cleveland, a winning team, by the way, on Wednesday, and then at Milwaukee on Friday. So, Gabe, you look at that gauntlet. Give me your go game by game, win or lose. Well, you told me that they're going to beat Golden State tonight. Start with in Boston tomorrow. We'll come up with your record in the gauntlet.
I think we walk away with a victory on the road against Boston, even though it'd be a back-to-back game. I think getting some energy after playing the Warriors. I think, you know, it's an early game, so we'll do well there. I think the Grizzlies are going to be tough. I think it's going to be the same thing. Like the Brooklyn Nets, you're going to go up against a team that has some offensive firepower. John Morant, you know, Jaren Jackson's playing well. You got Bane playing well. So we might lose that one. We tend to do poorly on games that are not necessarily in that, like, 6:30, 7 o'clock window. So this will be one of those.
That's a gambling tidbit right there.
Facts. And then you go up against you have a day off, go against the Cavaliers, and I think that'll be one of those ones where, you know, your little brother is playing hard, but you want to let them know you're still the little brother. So I think we'll win that one. We love playing against Lauri Markkanen. And then I think at home – in Milwaukee, so for them it's a home game that Friday. I think that'll be a tough one. I think we might lose that one. I think Giannis will go crazy there. So I think the Bulls end up 3-2 in their next five games. What about you?
Okay, Golden State, we both agree they're gonna win that game tonight as just simply as a make good from Brooklyn. I do think they'll lose the second of the back-to-backs in Boston tomorrow, and that's not a great Celtics team. You know, they're 21-21. The Bulls are better. I think they will lose that game. I'm very worried about the Monday game in Memphis. Memphis thinks that they're really good, and they might be really good. They're 30-14. That's a damn good team, rising and rising. I think the Bulls might get blown out in that game. They do beat Cleveland at home, and I don't see them winning against Milwaukee. So I guess that's what,
2-3?
Yeah, I'm a little bit more pessimistic about this run for the Bulls. Really quick, Rick Camp, I know we got a break, but what's your record with the gauntlet for the Bulls? Do you think they come out of this thing successful?
I think you guys are on the right track, like 2-3, 3-2 most likely. The game I feel most strongly about in either direction is that Memphis game, just because the other thing is they're fairly balanced in being able to play big or play small, you know, because they're such a deep team.
Very quick, too.
Yeah, they're really – I mean, they need to make a consolidation trade, but that's neither here nor there for now. I think, like, probably 3-2 makes the most sense.
You're on the positive side of that, Rick. Come over here on my side, above 500 on this little gauntlet of a trip here.
Yeah, like, I mean, I think there's the range, though. It could go bad, but it also could go really good, because Cleveland's just a bad matchup, but they're just so decimated in the backcourt. Outside of Garland, do they have enough just to be able to, you know, get enough scoring from the backcourt to balance things out on a night where either maybe Allen or Mobley isn't scoring the best? I mean, that's really what the big question is with Cleveland, but they're a team that the Bulls just don't match up very well with right now.
There's not many cupcakes in the NBA anymore. I mean, there's some bad teams, but there's a lot more good teams than bad teams in this version of the NBA.
Just promise me, Mark and Rick, that you won't let Layla Bernstein and Mark yourself, if the Bulls do go 2-3, that you're like, oh, the Bulls are overrated.
Oh.
Bulls are in over their head. I just don't want that conversation to
happen.
Thank
you for listening.
I have never said anything of that sort, and I know all of our listeners know that I've always been the captain of positivity.
I love it.
Rick, you've been fighting a fight this year, Rick. Yeah. I've been paying attention, and you're Mr. Realistic once the postseason rolls around, but there are ways to bolster that and fix that, whether schematically or with personnel. So we shall see, but we all know everybody's takes, and I think that they're all solid and everything is pretty realistic. And no, Gabe, if the Bulls go 2-3, it's all good. I don't think the Bulls are the best team in the NBA right now, and I think that there are some stumbling blocks in this gauntlet. Let's get back to the Bears, though. We're going to take a break here on the Bernstein and Rahimi Show with Mark Grody and Gabe Ramirez. And when we come back, we will talk to Matt Miller of the DraftScout.com. He is the one that predicted Matt Nagy. He is the one who, I think, pretty much in real time said that Ryan Pace was a bad selection when he was picked. We'll see what is on Matt Miller's mind about these big Bears jobs next on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.